Greetings, gallant gamers, and welcome to yet another episode of the Daily Days Podcast. That's a weekly show that goes down both retro and modern roads. I'm Mr. Picario, your humbled correspondent, as we explore those avenues and airways. And what's on the itinerary today? Well, we're looking at five minor controversies, or debates, if you will. Five sets of games in which we have one title and its respective sequel, the debate being whether the sequel is actually better than its predecessor or if the original still has the advantage. Believe me, these games have long been a heated discussion amongst fans, even turning into a raging debate. It might seem silly, or at least a little odd, but Pac-Man vs. Ms. Pac-Man, Galaxian vs. Galaga, Mega Man 2 vs. Mega Man 3, Mario 3 vs. Mario World, Street Fighter 2 vs. Street Fighter 3. The superiority of one game versus the other from these sets might seem obvious, but you'd be surprised. Every game here has its defender. So whether by the end of this podcast you remain neutral or you pick a side or maybe you change your mind concerning one favorite versus another, the merits of both games will at least be laid bare, and maybe that controversy won't be quite as fiery as before. Alright, so let's begin with the most golden of oldies. Yep, that yellow fella himself, plus what many would deem to be his better half, Ms. Pac-Man. So, in general, everyone loves Pac-Man. The Dot Muncher revolutionized gaming in 1980 by providing players with a personable, appealing character to assume the role of, even identify with, as they outran those equally expressive ghosts that boasted their own distinctive behaviors. Indeed, it was and is a game for everyone. Men, women, children, young and old, any culture or creed. A perfect game, one might say, if it weren't bettered by its own sequel, 1982's Ms. Pac-Man. Packing, ha-ha, more mazes, more twisty turns, moving fruit, and less predictable ghosts, poor Pac-Man seemed suddenly thin by comparison. And yet, years later, it's still the original most seem to remember. Is it just nostalgia and the extra visibility that earns the original its favored status? Or might it somehow be superior to its sequel after all? Maybe that one lone maze simply tops Ms. Pac-Man's 4. Maybe it's the moody blue-on-black graphics. Or those desperate blaring police siren sounds as Pac-Man shoots down those empty halls. Maybe it's the fact the original Pac can actually be learned and mastered through careful observation and practice, while the more random Ms. Pac-Man cannot. Maybe the couple will just have to agree to disagree on this one. Next, we have the Galaxian vs. Galaga debate, both of which are derived from Taito's Space Invaders. But, never mind. Most, if quizzed, would proclaim Galaga as the better of the two Gs. Indeed, Galaga lets players fire two, not one, bullets at a time, it features faster, more squirmy enemies, it has bonus levels, and even the ability to dual-wield ships. the more primitive Galaxian is little more than a staid shooting gallery by comparison, right? Right? Well, while there's no denying that Galaga builds on Galaxian's foundation, there's something to be said for the latter's more focused, methodical gameplay. Even Galaxian's minor enemies can prove heinously dangerous, forcing the player to make each shot count as they deviously dive bomb the hapless Galaxip, the name of the player's ship. Yep, the game is both incredibly deliberate and methodical in its play. A single miss can spell disaster, a reality that makes every kill a small satisfying thrill, an exploding pixelized squeal that signifies another second's survival. In Galaga, its bugs are more fodder than equals, challenging only in their ability to swarm and rain bullet hell. In other words, Galaxian might lack some of Galaga's flash, but that just means its shoot-or-die design shines through evermore. This sequel debate also rages with Street Fighter II and its unsung successor, Street Fighter III: A New Generation. After dominating the arcade and saving it from extinction, Street Fighter II would be stretched over a series of updates and semi-sequels before finally giving way to a true heir in 1997. And yet, no one seemed to really care once Street Fighter III did appear. Media attention was distracted at best, console ports of the game were rare and slow in the coming, and fans themselves received the title with surprising apathy. Why? Well, despite its slick visuals and smooth animation, many blame Street Fighter III's tricky mechanics, deep learning curve, and cast of unfamiliar faces as the prime factors for its middling reception. Although competition from the likes of Marvel vs. Capcom, Tekken, and even the Street Fighter Alpha series likely didn't help either. Only in hindsight did gamers begin to perceive Street Fighter III's hidden brilliance, a game that has far outlived its contemporaries on the competitive scene thanks to its parrying system, super arts maneuvers, small jumping, and numerous other additions and refinements. This means that Street Fighter III is indeed less accessible than its forebear, but is it actually worse? Perhaps, just maybe, it's actually the better of the two. Next up is another set of Capcom classics, the seminal Mega Man 2 and sturdy Mega Man 3. 2 is perhaps the more recognized, introducing some of the series' most iconic musical scores, enemies, bosses, weapons, and backstory lore. Essentially, it reshaped the raw potential of the first game and refashioned it into something unforgettable. Can the same be said for Part 3? Well, honestly, probably not. While 2 was plugging up a leaky ship, 3 had much less to refine or improve, instead repeating what worked before. So, no, it wasn't as memorable, but that doesn't mean it wasn't improved or doesn't bear some significance of its own. Like the slide maneuver and the introduction of Rush the Dog. Like the extra stages that saw the return of 2's robot masters. Like the introduction of Proto Man, Mega Man's brother. And many a fan, looking back, feel 3 possessed the tighter controls and, in many cases, the superior level design. So, which one was best? You decide. Lastly, we have what might be the greatest debate of all, Super Mario Bros. 3 versus Super Mario World. Both games bear the same jump and bop gameplay, both games boast Koopas, Troopas, the Princess, and some others, and both games sport rich, colorful lands spread across sprawling maps, each housing a Guardian Koopaling to defeat. Yet, somehow, each still stands distinctly different, with Mario 3's reversible mushroom blocks, emphasis on strange power-ups, on airship battles, map screen Hammer Brother ambushes, and Princess Pin Pals, compared to Mario World's more organic, interconnected world, faster play, wider and longer levels, and increased moveset that ranges from chucking shells sky-high to spin jumping to bouncing off Yoshi's back during mid-fall. Poor Yoshi. In fact, each game excels so well in its unique specialties that one almost wishes each had gotten its own designated sequel that further explored each title's respective ideas. But alas, Part 3 gave way to Mario World, which I guess then led to Yoshi's Island some years later. And since, we've had nothing but a deluge of new Super Mario Bros. Games. You know, new Super Mario Bros. Wii and the like. It's as if Nintendo itself can't decide which Mario is tops, and maybe why we may forever have to settle with homegrown sequels via Super Mario Maker 2. For my part, well, every game here is excellent to be sure, and sometimes I find myself subjectively preferring one game to its objectively superior counterpart. I can, for instance, admit Ms. Pac-Man has the advantage due to its increased maze variety while still preferring the original all the same. Same goes with Galaxian versus Galaga. Galaga might be more instantly gratifying, but Galaxian's more methodical approach is what I favor most. Choosing between the two Mega Mans is a tough one, but I'd probably reluctantly side with the second game in this case, as it's the more groundbreaking of the pair. Likewise, I'd play it safe and stick with Street Fighter 2 over its more esoteric follow-up. But Mario? It's Super Mario World for sure. Part 3 is great and all, but World's sheer scope and flexibility and emphasis on exploration and hidden exits make it the true standard bearer. It also possesses an almost hidden high level of play that speedrunners and gaming parkour masters alike are still unearthing. Just check out the ROM hacks Kaizo Mario World if you need proof of that. So, what might your preferences be, or do you simply not care? Either way, I think we can all agree that all 10 games here are great and worth a play, as they are all a part of gaming's storied, colorful history, all unique works of art, if you will. And I do believe that's a fine note to end this show. I'll be back, of course, next week with some more gaming goodness, but until then, this is Mr. Picario signing off for now.